Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, it's Thursday, the weekend is almost upon us, and that means it's time for some weekend picks about what's hot and happening in and around town. And joining us now with a few ideas for getting out of the house this weekend is June Wolfe, arts reporter at the Boston Globe. Hi, June. Welcome back.
Hi.
So your first pick, a bit of a history lesson about something we used to export from this part of the world, but don't do much of anymore. Tell us about it.
Well, I remember as a kid, my dad would always say, June, go get me something from the icebox. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. But, you know, we think of ice now for something to put in a drink, something to put on a wound. But ice was really a cash cow for New Englanders back in the 19th century. So Fire and Ice is going on at Old Sturbridge Village. And while we nowadays don't really look forward to snow and ice, early New Englanders really hoped for cold, icy winters so they could cash in on their cash cow, which was ice.
So they literally carve it right out of a lake or a pond and export it all over the world, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so historians at Old Sturbridge Village will demonstrate ice harvesting. They'll also talk about someone called the Ice King. That was Frederick Tudor, who got very rich from shipping ice from area ponds to locations all around the world.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned it was a cash cow. Couldn't have been the easiest product in the world for merchants to make money off of, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And at first, the ship owners were very reluctant to carry the ice because they were afraid it was going to melt in the holds of the ships, and that wouldn't be fun. The first shipment of ice to England melted because customs officials couldn't decide how to classify a 300-ton cargo of ice.
Very interesting. So that's Fire and Ice Saturday and Sunday at Old Sturbridge Village. Sounds like a lot of fun and really interesting. And June, your next pick, a different sort of celebration altogether. Tell us about it.
Well, this is the Year of the Dragon. So the Chinese New Year Parade will involve lots of activity. There will be lions dancing through the streets to ward off evil. And this was something I was unaware of, that lettuce and oranges will be thrown. And there's a very specific reason for that. In addition to the lettuce and the oranges, dragons of every color will parade through Chinatown. Are you curious about the oranges and the lettuce?
I was going to ask, when you say they're going to be thrown, who throws them and who are they thrown at?
Well, it's not quite a food fight.
I see.
But I guess lettuce symbolizes wealth and luck. So after this, I'm going right out to get a head of iceberg.
I didn't know that.
And oranges symbolize longevity and health.
I see. All right. So that's the Chinese New Year Parade this Sunday, starting at 11 a.m. at Phillips Square in Chinatown. Well, June, I have a pick for you.
Okay.
It's Massachusetts folk singer Mark Arely.
Mm-hmm.
This Sunday at Club Passim in Cambridge. We interview Mark Arely back in May. And what's interesting about him was he started his career as an evolutionary biologist, but he loved music so much he decided to make that his life's focus. He's got terrific talent. Here he is playing a song for us, which we recorded back in May. It's called Everything in Ruin. Let's listen.
There's a jumped out truck stuck in the mud down in the valley where the low fields flood. Every spring when the river jumps its banks.
So that's Mark Arely, who'll be performing this Sunday at Club Passim in Cambridge. And June, one more pick from you. Another music pick sounds like this. And June, heavy metal June, what are we listening to?
Well, this is a song called Holiday from American Idiot, which is now up at the Boston Opera House. And it even has a Boston native, Matt DeAngelis, is in the ensemble. And he was recently here with Hair, so he's back. And I saw this show Tuesday. A lot of fun. It's Not My Fair Lady. This is a rock opera, and it's a Tony winner based on Green Day music.
Great. Well, that's American Idiot. The show has drawn rave reviews, but at first this idea of turning a punk album into a musical definitely had its skeptics. Here's what Tom Kitt, who was the music supervisor for the original production, had to say about this.
The great thing about that album and Green Day's musical in general is that it's symphonic in nature, even if it is a punk sound. So to open it up for vocal arrangements, for strings and bigger orchestrations, it actually felt really organic.
So, June, that's a bit about the music in American Idiot. What's the story about?
Well, in 2004, the American trio put out a Grammy-winning punk rock opera concept album. That was Green Day, of course. And they were aiming their musical guns at George W. Bush's America. The show went on to Broadway in 2010. There's a movie in the works. And it's about 1 year in the lives of three buddies who leave suburbia for the city. The show is mostly sung through, so there's very little dialogue. It has a very cool curtain call. So for those folks who like to leave the theater and get their cars and head home, I would say definitely hang out for the curtain call.
All right, stay put. Keep those seats in the seats. That's American Idiot at the Boston Opera House through January 29th. And let's go out on some more music from the show. Thanks, June.
Thank you.
June Wolfe is an arts reporter for the Boston Globe. And for more information about our picks for this weekend, go to radioboston.org.
Well, stay with us because up next, New England's contemporary artists showcased at the De Cordova Sculpture Park and Museum. We'll take a look. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.